This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Join me for my new radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk inspiration and prayer every Monday from 11 to 11:45 a.m. on KWWJ 1360 a.m., 96.9 FM, or KYOK 1140 a.m. Call me 832-570-8075. See you then.
Williams would like to dedicate this song to all the mothers, whether living or passed on. I went out in the world.
All right, Houston. This is Gilbert Garcia, Tip from Gilbert, Talk Inspiration and Prayer, and you're here again here on Monday, 11 to 11:45, as we always are, KYOK and KWWJ, Keep Walking with Jesus. And this is a great song, and we'll play it in its entirety at the end. It's our own Mr. Claude Cummins Jr., again, one of the great labor leaders in Texas, actually in America, and he does incredible, I mean, this guy has chops. I mean, he can sing. It's unbelievable. And his group Endurance is one of the really one of the best gospel groups there is. They're just fantastic. So we're here at the end. I have a guest, and her name is Elsa Caballero. Elsa, please say hi to Houston.
Buenos dias. Hi, Houston. Thank you for having me, Gilbert.
And so I wanted to bring Elsa because, first of all, Elsa is one of the biggest, and you know, biggest labor leaders is sort of a strange phrase, but I can't help to say it. One of the biggest, most important, most incredible labor leaders in America. And she represents SEIU, which is the service employees, which essentially are, is it safe to say custodial workers? Is that?
So we actually represent custodial workers, what we call Houston janitors here in Houston, right? Security officers, as well as airport workers now here in Houston, and healthcare workers in El Paso and Corpus Christi now.
What's beautiful about that is these are the folks that really keep Houston going. I mean, am I right? I mean, these
That's
are the people
right.
that they're working late at night. They're dealing with the most sensitive of information in people's offices and things, and they're trustworthy. They work hard. They just keep their head down, and they're just wonderful, beautiful people. I've known many throughout my life with some of the workers here. It's just incredible. So let me go back to something, which is how did you get involved in the labor movement? How did that happen in your life?
Interestingly enough, I started out first doing nonprofit work. I started out at the Battered Women's Shelter in Pasadena. I worked there doing a lot of that, you know, the counseling and case management work. And when I moved to California, I didn't go directly into that. I started working with the homeless families and in shelters for homeless family. And it really became clear to me that I was getting people after they had lost their job, after they just had, you know, a crisis in their lives, and all of a sudden families were in shelters, you know, and all it took is one event that made them lose their job. It could have been, you know, layoff. It could have been anything, and then they were homeless, right? So it wasn't the tip. When you think about homelessness, sometimes you think, oh, they must have been doing something wrong, or they didn't save money. But when you live from paycheck to paycheck, you lose the job. In 1 month, you can be homeless. In less than a month, you could be homeless. And so I started to find out, well, how do I get before that happens? How do we make sure people actually have a job and they can keep it and they can save money? And I got into the labor movement when I was in California as a more of a preempt because I was tired of seeing, you know, how many families. It wasn't just people that you think about, like the single people in drugs. It was like entire families right. that were ending in shelters.
Well, you know, they say that people are only like one check away from being homeless, like everyone. I mean, it's somehow. And, you know, in today's times, and I get so frustrated, we've talked about on the radio before, all these ivory tower Wall Streeters and all they think about is, you know, the Dow Jones and Wall Street, when they don't realize it's the people that make this country move and go. And right now people are hurting because everything's too expensive. Everything is, they can't afford anything. And it takes two people to have two jobs each to maintain the same standard of living. Am I right? Isn't that what you see with your members?
Correct. And I mean, prior to COVID, it was already a problem, right? People were making, Houston janitors right now, for instance, they're making $10.75.
Come on.
Which is like, and many of them are working part-time hours, which is why you hear the stories about them having to do two jobs. So imagine making $45 to $54 a day. right? And having to pay for gas or having to pay for transportation to get to your job, there's not much to take home. So it was already a problem to begin with. And I think, you know, it's very hard for them to be able to make ends meet every day without having to make some sort of sacrifice every month. You know, something's not getting paid every month.
You're breaking my heart when you think about that for a moment. $10, I mean, to go to the movies now, it's like $16 just to go to the movies. And I took my daughter and some of her friends to the movies, and between going to the movies, popcorn, soda, the popcorns are all like, you know, $10 and the soda. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
They work all day and they can really not even go to the movies with their family.
No, those are luxuries for them.
I mean, I'm speechless, but we're going to come right back to it because we have our first caller. Do we have a caller there, Ms. Producer? Is there a Steve on the line?
Yes, Gilbert. This is Steve Duble here.
Steve, I owe you a call, my friend, but I'm so glad you're calling me on the show. So, Steve, talk to us, my friend. What are you doing? What are you running for? Tell us why.
So I'm running for an open justice of the PC. There are 16 justices of the peace positions in Harris County. There's two for each of the 8 constable precincts. So the precinct boundaries are the one I'm running for, which is precinct 1, place 2, lines up with Constable Rosen, and Eric Carter is the other JP for this. And the one who's held this seat for many years is David Patronella, and he'll be vacating this seat at the end of the year. So I'm going to run off May 24th with early voting May 16th to 20th. There's nobody running on the Republican side, so this May 24th runoff will determine the winner. And I've been interested to hear your conversation so far because a lot of my platform has to do with what y'all are talking about this morning and people living paycheck to paycheck, a paycheck or one little problem away from being homeless. And we've got a real crisis going on with evictions here in Harris County.
Well, Steve's family goes to church at the same church we do. And they're really wonderful and warm people. The family goes way back in the community. Let me ask you this, Steve, real quick. For all of us and someone like me that, you know, I'd like to think I'm educated, this and that, what does a justice of the peace do?
So a big part of what they do is evictions. I'd say that's about 40% of it. They also do in any landlord-tenant dispute. It can be a multi-million-dollar landlord-tenant dispute or a small homeowner, a small renter home dispute. That all has to go through the JP courts. So that's a big part of what they do. They also do Class C misdemeanors for which no one's going to jail. There's only financial violations or financial penalties. And they do commercial disputes or civil disputes up to 20,000. And you may have seen a recent series in the Houston Chronicle, a really good series on what's going on there. And they've raised the level to $20,000. So we've got a lot of credit card companies that are flooding the courts with, and they're flooding the JP courts with their collection cases.
Well, Steve, I'm going to move to a different direction real quick because I just hope one thing. When you're there, my friend, you know, just remember when you eviction things, have a heart. You know, just have a heart with folks. And on these misdemeanors and things, you know, please support diversion programs and things like this because sometimes circumstances, someone can't get a good lawyer or someone doesn't have any money for a lawyer and all of a sudden one thing happens and their whole life is changed. One mistake. So please make sure you do that. Very quickly, give us your website and everything else so people know how to reach you.
SteveDuble.com. DUBLE, SteveDuble.com, and you can check me out on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram and I'm on Twitter, and happy to talk to anybody about my platform, and I'm with you. I'm here to address this problem and here to come up with a better system than just viewing this as customer service for landlords and customer service for bill collectors.
Amen.
Our constituents are also, you know, the tenants and the debtors are also our constituents.
Very. Can I get an amen, studio audience?
Amen.
Amen. There you go. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for being on the phone. I know we have
Good talking to you, Gilbert. Thank you.
I know we have some other people on the phone, but before we do, I want to come back to this concept of, you know, I don't know the right phrase, Elsa, but people need to be able to make a livable wage. Is that the phrase? I mean, you work hard. You would think that you should be able to, you know, live with that versus $10 an hour in today's times. If you inflation adjust that, who knows what that is? It's probably like $2 an hour. Right. So, you know, what are you doing about that? I mean, what can we do?
So a couple of things, right? Houston Janitors right now are in the middle of what they call a contract campaign, which we're negotiating a contract with their employers, many.
Well, then help us go through that for a second. So the janitors are part of a contract. So they're part of the union, and the union represents them with an employer, and there's a contract. Is that?
Basically,
am I going through
yes.
it? Okay.
Yeah. And so here in Houston, there's many different contractors. And
okay.
the contractors have to agree to sit down with the union and negotiate a contract that sets standards for them, including wages. And, you know, through the pandemic, obviously, they were all very worried that, you know, they weren't going to have a lot of work and that people working from home. But the reality is that we know our janitors were coming to work every day. Their hours would get cut because they saw this as an opportunity to cut hours and do things they shouldn't do. But they were working. They were working every day. They were considered essential workers. But their wages have not continued to go up. And that is because, you know, of course, building owners really drive that. You know, building owners have to be willing to pay in order to get more money to the janitors. I would tell you, it only costs, believe it or not, to get janitors to a $15 minimum, a penny per square foot a month.
Come on.
A penny per square foot.
Come on.
So I know that tenants, when they hear that, it's probably not even going to make that much of a difference to tenants such as you.
It's outrageous.
Building.
I mean, you know, we'd pay a lot more than a penny for them to get where they need to get. And frankly, $15 an hour, that's still not enough, Elsa, yeah. somehow to me, when I think about that. You know, we're going to come right back to that. We have another caller. Let's go to the second call. Is it our Dan on the phone?
Yeah, Don.
Don, please. I apologize, Mr. Don. You got me, Gilbert Garcia, a tip from Gilbert, talk, inspiration, and prayer. And you have Miss Elsa Caballero, one of the union legends in America, certainly in Texas. Have you ever been called a union legend?
Not yet.
Well, you are. Go ahead there. Go ahead there, Don.
Oh, no, I'm not a union legend. I don't think so.
but you know what you are? A good human being for calling in. So what do you got there?
Oh, well, you know what? I've been working a lot with Miss Edna Griggs, who is a community activist here in the Acres Homes community. And she does a lot of work with the Aldine schools. And so a few years back, she asked me to, like, this is like 6 or 7 years back when I first met her. She said that I should come up here. I probably could do some magic, or we have a lot of magic going on if I showed up and worked with these kids and they would show me something. And so I moved in, and you know what? This is my second year here. We started robotics. We started competing in robotics competitions.
Wow!
And next thing you know, we actually wound up doing really well at the world championship, which was held down here about 2 weeks ago. We wound up walking away with one of the top prizes.
And are these minority kids?
Yes, these are minority kids. So
what a beautiful thing.
Yeah, the robots they're working with, these are robots that are like 120 to 160 pounds, and they move real fast.
Wow.
They have to climb and do stuff, shoot baskets like people, run into each other. But these kids have taken on to this, and they're loving it. And, I mean, and what's nice, too, about it is that the kids are very proud of their community, where they come from. They're proud of the Acres Home community. They're proud of Aldine. They're proud of Carver High School and all the neighboring schools, Eisenhower and Branson. But these kids all come together, have all come together, and they've been doing an outstanding job.
Well, you know what that means? You know, it just means there's talent in the minority community. You know, you hear people, and the stereotype of robotics as well, it's not for us. That's just not true. At the end of the day, we have talent. We have smart young kids. They just need someone like you, Mr. Don, that'll just have a heart, take them under their wing, and really show them. And I really congratulate you for mentoring these young kids.
I appreciate this. I really
That's
do.
Really
I
where it begins. It takes someone like you. Did you ever see that movie Stand and Deliver about Escalante, about the teacher Jaime Escalante on the calculus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
remember that?
A long time back. Yeah,
yes.
I know that movie.
And the best line, of course, was when the guy that plays Lou Diamond Phillips, he plays La Bamba in another movie, he went up there and he goes, "What's calculus?" and it was calculus. And they thought that
right.
Our kids can't do it. And then it took someone like Mr. Escalante to really work with these young people, and we can. Well, Mr. Don, yes. I'm going to give you the last word. How can people reach you, or where do they reach you? Is Miss Edna the Miss Edna that I know in Acres Home?
Yeah, it's probably the one. Yep, the same Miss Edna that you know.
Oh my God, you know, she's like the mayor of Acres Home. You know that? She's the real mayor out there. It's unbelievable. Yeah. She had me visit with some seniors, and for another show, I'll talk about it because these seniors are wonderful. And in my opinion, we need to turn to our seniors because they are the wise ones of the community. And we need to turn to them because they have so much to give and to tell us, and they want to share their wisdom. Oh, I had the best time with these seniors.
Yes. No, you know what? Since I've met her, I mean, she's actually not only helped me create opportunities for these kids, but also it's given me an opportunity to look at myself and how to improve and be the best teacher I can. I love you.
Well, Mr. Don, we thank you for being on the phone. I'm hugging you here in cyberspace, and thank you for what you do, and I'm hugging Miss Edna. You let her know.
Will do. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Don. I want to come back to Elsa for a second, because what about health care? Do they have health care benefits?
So they do, as long as they meet the minimum requirement of, you know, the hours, right? And what we saw is that many of them actually lost their health care because, you know, they cut their hours to 4 hours a day.
Oh, gosh.
Or many of them to 5 hours, right? So they went from having six to a lot less. And that, of course, means that they no longer have healthcare available. And we know during COVID that was very difficult. So for this year, that's one of their big priorities, not only getting to 15, right? For us, we think, look, we're in Texas. This janitor's making $15 an hour. It's not just good for them as janitors, but it's good for Houston. They're going to spend their money.
Exactly.
Here. They're going to use it in the economy. And Texas is big enough for 15. We can do better. And so that's our campaign. Texas is big enough for 15.
I like that. I want everyone to say that with me. Texas is big enough for 15. Everyone out in the universe, because it really is. And you know what? I don't mean to be, I don't know, this is going to sound callous. It seems like it should be higher than 15.
It should
be higher than 15. You know, because these people are so warm and wonderful, and they're dealing with, you know, with all the important things in the office, and they're dealing it with such grace, and they're being very, what's the right word? They're protective of the data. It's so incredible.
And they're proud about the work they do.
Yes.
So, you know, like, they're very proud. They're the majority of our workforce here is, you know, Latino immigrants as well as African Americans, right? Black Latinos do most of the work, which, you know, think about it. These are the people who have been really struggling during COVID, making $10.75, you said it. It's not enough. And 15 is probably still not enough. It's not where they should be. But we have to start moving in the right direction. What I could tell you is right now, I have members who have to rely in being able to not only do two jobs, even with two jobs, they have to go to church to get, and food pantries to meet their needs, because they can't at this time. They're having to go to the clinics, you know, and get their gold card because they still don't have health care during COVID. And think about that. That's also a drain of resources. Why? Because we're not paying enough. And we see a lot of people not wanting to come back to jobs that are not paying enough. This is why you hear so many people across the country now willing to go on strike, willing to not go back to the same old, because they can't even afford to go to work anymore. You can't afford to go to work and get $45 a day and spend it on, you know, childcare, on bus transportation, on gas. Then what are you doing? You're not doing anything.
That's right.
It's costing you more money. So we know that a lot of the private sector sees the need to raise wages. They just don't want to go as far as they should, right? We believe 15 is the right place to start, and let's talk about 15, build at least bring the minimum to 15. It's something that we should have done in Texas a long time ago. It's something that should have happened across the country a long time ago to raise the minimum wage. We've been talking about it for a very long time. This is not a new concept.
I mean, they're the bedrock of downtown, because they come when we all leave to go to bed, right? They're coming in, because are there two shifts a day, or how does it work again?
So most of them do, you have day porters, which is, you know, in a lot of the buildings such as yours, right? They want the building clean 24 hours a day, looking nice, being disinfected. disinfected, you know, doing all the stuff so that that you have everything that you need. And then around 4 or 5, then comes the night crew that leaves everything ready for when you come in the morning. So a lot of times, this the people that clean these buildings, nobody even knows that they're there, right? You don't see them because they're so used to just kind of coming behind you and making sure everything is taken care of, you know, and so they're invisible to everybody else. But we all depend on what they do every day.
Well, you know what? For everyone that's listening to me, and I know I may be singing to the choir with the listeners that we have, because we have very wonderful listeners on KWWJ and KYOK. It's really sort of the others that aren't listening, because everyone here listening, they have, you know, a little bit of God in their heart, naturally. Mm-hmm. So I would say to everyone else, you know what? When you see one of the workers, give them a thank you.
Yep.
Give them a thank you. My goodness, because, you know, it's just, number one, the right thing to do. Just give them a thank you. Let me ask you this. How many SEIU members, or how many people do you represent here in the Houston area?
For the Houston janitors, we represent about 2,300 workers now. Post-pandemic, a lot of them have not come back.
Mm-hmm.
But we represent about 2,300. They clean the buildings in the downtown Galleria and what we call West Chase area.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the high-rise buildings that you see, they do get cleaned every day by the Houston janitors.
My goodness. We have another call. Is there a Jesse on the line there? Jesse, is this Jesse? Is it Jumpin' Jess?
Yes, sir.
Jumpin' Jess, how are you, my friend? I don't know if you know Miss Elsa, but man, she is just a dynamo, and she does so much for so many. What you got for me, Jess?
I'm too blessed to be stressed, Gilbert, and I want to tell you about the situation that, you know, it starts with us. We need to pay everybody a good living wage. And so when we get workers to work for us, we should pay them a minimum $15. It's good living wage. If somebody wants to get you rest for $10 or $12 an hour, we need to pay them, step up and pay them $15 an hour. That's the way it goes. It starts with us, first of all. We need to do that. And number two, I want to thank you for your show, Gilbert. You do a great job. It's inspirational. And, you know, it's a blessing that you have the show. And number three, I want to tell you all your good work you do out in the community and how you step up all the time helping everybody and all the good people in the community. And number four, I want to tell you an early happy birthday, Gilbert, because I know your birthday's coming this Friday, and I want to be the first one to tell you, and I know your show's done on Friday, but I'm going to tell you right now, happy birthday, and I'll say goodbye.
Jess, I'm hugging you, man. Thank you so much. You know, I'm going to be 59.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to be 59. I'm going to be 59 years young. I remember I was at Mr. Claude Cummins III Pastor's Church, and there was a wonderful lady, and she was 92 years young.
Mm.
And, I mean, she looked great. And I happened to have been at the Mount Calvary Baptist Church this past Sunday with Pastor Ronald Smith, and there were so many, just some seniors that were just beautiful with a nice clothes, their best clothes, their hats. It's just a beautiful thing as they were celebrating Mother's Day.
Mm.
So let's come back for a second. So SEIU, though, that's a national group.
Right.
So how many people are part of the union nationally?
So we have over 2 million members.
2 million members?
In the U.S. and Canada and Puerto Rico. And we represent public sector workers as well as healthcare and what we call property service, which is, you know, where the janitors come in and they do a lot of the cleaning, security work, and things like that, you know, all over the country. So we're blessed to be part of a much larger, you know, international union. I'm very proud of the fact that I think I'm on my third term now of being the president of SEIU in Texas. And, you know.
Boy, did y'all hear that? That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm blessed that the members have chosen, you know, chosen me, and I take that responsibility serious. You know, my role is to advocate for them, to be that voice for them. And, you know, I have to be here today because I believe it's the right thing to do, but also because I believe my members need that. My members need the support of everyone that's listening to you, of you, to make sure that we can get to a livable wage this time around.
Well, you're blessed, but guess what? They're blessed to have you. So let's go back. I want to go into something really important. So there's a contract up for renewal now.
Yes.
Okay. And when, so just walk our listeners through that. So when is the renewal, and is there something we can do to help? Is there a website or something? So walk us through it.
So our contract expires in May 31st. So we have until the 31st to get to an agreement. And then what the way that you could help, or your listeners could help, is, you know, talk to your pastor about how they could support and advocate for these workers to make a livable wage of $15 an hour. People, if they're interested in participating in our campaign, they can call 832-387-5352.
Let me put that on my website. If you wouldn't mind saying that one more time.
832-387-5352.
And if people wanted to sort of, for lack of a better word, follow this, where do they get updates of how it's going? Is there a website that y'all have information for the public?
Yes, it's sciutx.org.
And that's S-E as in Edward, I as in Indiana, U.
S-E-I-U-T as in Tom, X as in X-ray.
T-X.
.org.
Oh, wonderful. And so let me ask this. So this negotiation is with the contractor that has the contract to clean.
Yes.
It's not with the building owner themselves.
It's not. But, you know, we do know that at the end of the day, the contractors are going to do what the building owners or the property managers want them to do. So at the end of the day, the power lays
That's right.
where the money is, right? And they're not going to, you know, they're going to be willing to do as much as the owners or the property managers let them do. And just to remind you, it again only would cost them a penny per month per square foot to raise wages for Houston janitors to $15 an hour.
It's almost like you should say, I don't know, I'm just making this up here with you. It's almost like we should go to those that are the tenants in the building with the negotiation to say, we're negotiating right now. Talk to your property manager and say, are you willing to pay a penny just to be, you know, just as a human rights cause issue? I mean, is that something that's like not a taboo to do?
No, it's not. Actually, that's perfect. I mean,
we should just go to the tenants.
Get the tenants involved.
And pass a leaflet at the outside of the building when people walk in and say, would you pay a penny to help folks live a livable wage and to help boost the economy of Houston? I think everybody would.
Well, what I find is that a lot of the tenants love the people that are cleaning their building. They know them by name. They believe that they're part of their family because they know them every day. They don't usually get to see the ones in the afternoon. They know the day porters, right, what they call the day porters. And they all would be willing to do more for them. But they don't know how. And I would say tenants can call their property managers. They can call their owners and say, I support this, you know, because at the end of the day, they're already paying the rates that they need to pay to have those buildings get clean. And it probably won't be a huge amount of money for them to increase that $15.
And my building here in Houston, I'm in 5 Houston Center. Mm-hmm. Is this one of the buildings?
This is one of the buildings.
Okay,
yes.
You know what? I'm going to call my property manager, and I'm going to report next week on the air here.
Perfect.
I wonder if I can do one of those things like they do where like you call them and they don't know and you're on the phone or something like that. I know we have a Reynaldo or Ray. You've been on the phone for a little while, and I appreciate you holding on. So Ray, speak to me here. Talk inspiration and prayer. Gilbert Garcia with Miss Elsa, labor union extraordinaire. Talk to me, Ray.
Well, thank you very much. I was really not expecting to be on the phone with you, but it's a great surprise and a pleasure indeed. I was calling just to see if I could set up a meeting with you personally and introduce you to our company, Tetra Land Services. We do commercial appraisals and do some right-of-way work and issues in some residential as well. But my interest was really with eminent domain, and that I know, like the lady that you have on the line with, we're interested in trying to see how we can cater the Hispanic community on issues that have to do with right-of-ways and real estate altogether.
Well, sure. I'm happy to do that. I'm going to give you my cell phone. Are you ready?
No, one second, please.
I caught you off guard. Don't worry.
No problem. I just, you know, sometimes you think you're going to talk to someone about a different some subject, and you get
You get a genuine regular person, and that's me.
I try to be, you know.
There you go. Well, let me give you my number.
Well, I have your card. I met with.
Do you have my?
You represent the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, so you have my number.
Well, I think I do.
Ready? I'll just give it to you. 713.
713.
Nobody gives this on the radio, but I do. 443.
443.
4330. That's my cell phone. You just call me anytime, my friend, and we'll get together. I'd love to do it.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. I appreciate the opportunity. It would be very nice.
Thank you very much.
It's all for it to help the community. You know?
That's what it's all about. The more education we can have in the community, the better off the community is. And, you know, when you look at the African-American and Latino community, we are Houston. When you look at the numbers, the more we educate our communities, the better off Houston as a whole is going to be. That's what we got to get elected officials and public officials to really understand.
So, Mr.
Dunn,
you.
Yeah, thank you for being on the call. Call me, my friend.
I sure will.
Thank you, sir.
Very much.
All the best to you. I know we have another caller there. I'm just trying to get them all in, but I also want to keep my conversation. Is there a Miss Janie Torres? Is this Janie?
Yes. Good morning, Gilbert.
Janie, is this my Janie?
This is your Janie.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. Janie, I'm so glad you called me. And, you know, Janie, I had the best time. And for everyone in Houston, you know, we celebrated the life of Mr. Joe Campos Torres through a car parade. And I've never been in a car parade, but I tell you what, it was a blast. And I want to thank HPD for letting us all kind of go through some of the lights, and they made sure we could all do it. And the beautiful thing, Janie, was you and the family, Richard, allowed just anyone who wanted to talk on the megaphone to talk. And that was a beautiful thing, to let everyone express themselves. And one of the most, you know, Janie, one of the things that moved me was the gentleman, the artist, and his beautiful Indian chant and song that he sang.
Yes,
That just really moved me. But Janie, you're here with me, Talk Inspiration and Prayer. You are on three radio stations. How do you feel with everything that's going on about your brother?
I feel very, I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful for all the support that we've been getting with you, especially having you on board with so much support and so much uplifting. Just the uplifting vibe that you give out is just, you know, very heartwarming. We also have you, Black. We also have Isidro as well, Johnny Mata. It is just such a beautiful thing. Finally, all this coming together. Now, in the past years and decades, we had put off connecting with anybody because we've never felt it. There was never a connection from heart to heart, and I'm thankful that we held off, because now we have heart to heart connections with people, you know, like yourself and Isidro. And it is such a blessing, and I'm thankful that we did hold off, because now we have, I believe the Lord put in our path the right connections.
Well, I tell you, what's amazing to me, Janie, if you don't mind me saying, is, you know, I'm a mere mortal, and somehow I think if my family lineage, if this had happened to us, I don't know, I think I'd be bitter, I'd be angry, all those things, and y'all have nothing but love and forgiveness in your heart. And it's just it's amazing to see y'all when you talk about these things. And so I really tip my hat to y'all. There's a certain angelicness around you and the family. And I just really am so glad to know you.
Thank you so much. I have forgiveness. I just don't have forgiveness in the system. This is why we do what we do, because we are trying to hold the system accountable, and everyone who plays a role in the system is responsible to make these positive changes for the people, for the community, and not only that, for our next generation, because they also have a right to be protected, and we have to hold these people in office accountable for the system. They are those that are working the system, but they have to be also held accountable to the laws as well. and this is why we do what we do. And not only for my family, but once I'm gone, this is for the next generation. We have to make sure that they're protected.
Well, you know, amen to that, because it's all connected, Elsa. When you think about the Jose yes. Campos Torres story, when you think about things like police brutality, when you think about human trafficking, when you think about people yes. not getting a livable wage, the amount of overrepresentation of minorities and women yes. in those groups that are always right. taken advantage of. Is that what you see all over the country? Janie, I'm just
exactly.
asking. I'm just going to ask Ms. Elsa real quick. Is that what you see all over the country, Ms. Elsa?
Of course. I mean, of course. We know that that's happening, right? It's like all over the country, the people that have struggled the most, right, are before the pandemic, but definitely during the pandemic, were people of color, black, brown people who are already working minimum wage jobs and were having a hard time to make ends meet, are continuing to struggle after the pandemic. And let's not even start talking about women and how there's so much inequity in terms of comparing women who are in the workforce to men doing the same work, getting paid a lot less and having not the same benefits.
And, you know, and everyone should care about that, because even if you're a man, you should care about it, because what about your wife or your sister or your daughter? This is one big world and one big people, and we should all care about that issue. Well, Miss Janie, I'm going to give you the last word. And by the way, while you were speaking, I held up the wonderful T-shirt that I got from you with your brother.
Thank you.
And you know, your brother, God, he was so young and handsome.
Yes.
You know,
and
for his life to be taken away like that is just it just can't happen.
Yes.
It just, we cannot let that happen anymore. I'm going to give you the last word, Janie.
Well, I know one thing: $15 is not enough.
No.
It's way overdue. The $15 should have been, in my opinion, decades ago. And not only with COVID now, if I go into my doctor's appointments like Harris Health, I see the janitors cleaning all the time. The windows, the door handles, the seats, everything. So $15 today, it's ridiculous. It should be way higher than that.
Go ahead, Janie.
And with the prices of everything rising, gas, food, rent, everything, $15 for that line of work, for labor work in general, it's that should have been $15 maybe a decade ago, 2 decades ago, but not now. No.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Miss Janie, I'm hugging you the phone. Thank you so much for calling in, and
yes.
please call in again, my dear. I'm hugging you right now.
Yes, bam. I will. Great work, Gilbert, and thank you so much for your unconditional love to the community. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Miss Janie. That's Miss Janie again. I know we have another caller, though, and I'm trying to get as many as we can in, Elsa. But let's go. Do we have another caller there? Is there a Mr. Cummins there? Mr. Cummings, is there a Mr. Cummings there?
Hey, Gilbert, how are you?
Is this Mr. Cummings, as in Mr. Claude Cummings, as in Endurance, that incredible song we heard earlier?
Hey, Claude.
Hey, man. Yes, thank you. How you doing? Hi, Elsa, how are you?
I'm good, I'm blessed, thank you.
You know, Claude,
I just wanted to thank you for having Elsa on. Elsa is a living legend.
You guys are too gracious to me.
No, but it's just the truth, the things that you've done in this city and around this state, and I can't think of a greater advocate for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour than Elsa. And you guys are right. You know, it should be more. It should be more. But you know, it's been stated that $15 is a livable wage, and Elsa has really been one that has her mouth and her feet are moving in the same direction and working to get it done. So I wanted to thank you for having her on the show today just publicly thank her for the work that she's doing. And quickly I'll say, you know, the way that we can fix this where workers can get more money is to elect politicians that will advocate for workers. And Elsa is changing this state an election at a time, working with me and other unions and making sure we elect people that support workers and support raising wage.
Well, that's an amen, actually.
That it sure is. I couldn't do it without you as a partner, Claude.
Well, Claude, you know what? Claude, what's amazing is when you think about, you know, you walk a gallon of gas, I got gas this morning. It was like $4.05. So think right. about that. Someone who works an hour after tax and everything can barely buy a gallon and a half.
Right.
And probably they're the people that have some of the older cars.
That's right.
That it takes almost a gallon and a half of gasoline just to get to the office.
Right.
And, you know, just put that in that context, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever you talk numbers, just put it in real life things. I bought a watermelon the other day. It was $12. So think about that. You work a whole hour, you can't even buy a watermelon. And so
just think about it. No, you're right,
Gary. Put it in context like that.
I drive an older Hummer, and it costs me $70 to fill it up with super premium gases. All I can burn it the other day, and I thought about that. We got some workers that are not making out of that.
That's right. I mean, you got to put it in context. I was getting a prescription filled, and of course, you know how healthcare is. Mm-hmm. Every year they do the same thing, which is they raise the prices about 10 or 15%, and they lower what you can get. Every single year, somehow, these health insurance companies. And so I got a prescription. Are you ready for this? Even with the subsidy of my health insurance, 3 months supply was $500 and something.
Goodness.
Can you imagine that, Claude? Who can afford that?
Right.
When you think about just everyday people and they're making decisions of, do I, you know, pay for medicine or do I pay for milk
right.
for my kids?
Right.
That's where we are here in America. We can do better, Claude. Come on.
Yes, we can.
We can do better.
Elsa, talk to me. Go ahead, Claude. You got some.
He's been a great partner and a great friend, and your show is just so informative. You know, we need to do more to try to make sure listeners are listening to you, because you're bringing out the real things that need to be talked about today in this city and in this state.
Well, Claude, thank you very much for calling in. I'm hugging you on the phone in cyberspace. I'm going to let Elsa. Thank you very much, Mr. Claude Cummins.
Thank you.
Again,
thank
labor you. Leader extraordinaire for decades. Of course, he started when he was 3 years old, so
yes.
That's why he can be decades. But Ms. Elsa, let's go back. So what are your thoughts to what I just said about that? I mean, it just seems to me when you put it in context, it really makes sense. You have a great context. Would you pay a penny a square foot more
right.
to have people have a livable wage? And that's just going to benefit Houston because they live here.
They live
They're going to spend the money,
their money
here.
And here's the thing. Think about it, especially with your listeners. Many of these workers with the wages that they're making, $10.75, they have to do two or three jobs. When we think about what that means for their families, right, that means that their children, when they come home, they have no parent there
mm-hmm.
to be there, do their home, help them do homework, and be just a support system. Many of these kids are having to stay at childcare if they're too young, childcare that it's already overpriced for them, or staying with older siblings, right? And we think about how important it is to have a parent at home to kind of give that guidance so that they can do their homework, so that they can get into college and they can do something different. I will tell you, people don't get that cycle
mm-hmm.
that when, you know, they say to me, well, why don't they just get another job, right? Well, it's hard to get another job, or it's hard to go to school to go get another
mm-hmm.
job when you're having to do two to three jobs. And when you have a child who's not, you know, I have a member right now who told me, my daughter did everything right. I've been working, haven't stopped working because I was helping her with school. But during COVID, she was already in college. She had to stop going to college so she can help the family. She went to work because she had to go help her family to maintain. So those are the sacrifices that these workers make. And I will tell you, I'm not here to ask you to pity them or to feel sorry for them. These are very proud group of workers. They just want to come and do a good, solid day of work, but get paid correctly, get paid what they deserve. So they're not demanding more than what they deserve and what they need to take care of their families, to break those cycles of poverty that we have. Because if the kids are not able to go to school, then they also end up having poverty jobs, right? So we have to do better as Texans. We have to do better as Houstonians. We have to break the cycle of poverty that we live in. You know, we can talk about the fact that we want to do better, but until we start making changes, we do need leaders in office that are willing to do better. I could tell you, I work with Mayor Turner to increase wages for airport workers, and I hope to continue to work with other elected officials who want to do the right thing and want to inspire private sector to do the right thing.
And you know what? It's not expensive.
It is.
It really, in the scheme of these multi-billion dollar budgets and the hundreds of millions of dollars, I mean, it's not expensive. Let's do it. Let's do it, Houston. And again, SEIU SEIUTX.org, SEIUTX.org, or call in at 832-387-5352. I'm not so sure if we're going to get to Miss Monica, because you know what they say, like in Carol Burnett, I'm so glad we had this time together, because guess what? It's time to say goodbye.
Oh, fortunate.
Didn't it fly?
It did. It was fun.
We have about one more minute, and then we'll stay on Facebook. Monica, do you want to say something real fast? Is there a Monica there?
I would love to.
Come on, Monica.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me, and I will keep it under a minute, I promise.
Go, Monica, go.
Because that was really important, and I was very impressed by what I heard, and I want to remind everyone that early voting starts next week. Vote Monica Singh, Singh in the Spring, next week, the 16th through the 20th, and the runoff election is on the 24th. Don't forget to exercise that right to vote, because you're right. All these changes can only happen when we have the right people in office.
Monica, give us your website. Monica, website. Give me your website.
www.singforjudge.com. Thank you so much, Gilbert.
Monica, I'm hugging you right now. Way to go. We're proud of you. We're proud of you. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great one, y'all.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, I'm going to give Miss Elsa the last word here on these 30 seconds. Miss Elsa, it's all you.
I would say if you want to support the Houston Janitors and you're working in one of these buildings, please call your property manager. Ask them to do the right thing here and pay these workers the $15 that they need.
I'm calling my building manager today. Thank you, Houston. This is Talk Inspiration and Prayer with Gilbert, a tip from Gilbert. And you can always call me every Monday at, I'm going to give you the number, 832-570-8075. And we're every Monday, 11 to 1145, KWWJ, Keep Walking with Jesus, and KYOK. And we'll see you next time. All right. We're now on cyberspace. We've just completed our radio episode. You know, I love that song. I'm going to have to play that song again, I think. Because that's, I mean, have you ever seen Claude's come and sing?
No, this is my first time. I'm very impressed. Claude, if you're looking.
Did you know he can sing?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing.
He's got chops, and he's got this group. And, you know, they're like the Four Seasons almost.
I love it.
And they sing gospel music, and they got it going on. They're fantastic. So we're going to close out here on cyberspace, and I want to just repeat a few things, which is SEIUTX.org. And I think really, in many ways, this issue about a livable wage, in my view, is just the next stage of the civil rights movement, right? The first stage was trying to just fight for the right to vote and those sorts of things. And now it's about fight for just basic humanity and basic livable wages, things that you take for granted, but you can't. Because out there, you can't take it for granted. It's not happening. And people are just one check away from being homeless. They really are. And if you want to know about it, 832-387-5352. And if you're a tenant somewhere out there in cyberspace, call your property manager and owner and say, you know what, you might have SEIU workers in here. And if you do, please, I'm willing to pay a penny more. That's not even a bubble gum anymore. Bubble gum is a quarter, a penny more a square foot to give people a living wage. And frankly, I would say it's not even really a living wage, but at least it's better than where they are. And these are good people. In fact, I see some of my own relatives in there. My grandfather, who was in the Marine Corps, that was his way out of poverty. Right. For the Latino community, a lot of us, that's the way out of poverty. Yeah. And the GI Bill and so forth. And then he was a warehouseman, and he was a custodian.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would be there, and if the toilet broke, he'd fix it. If something, I mean, that was my grandfather. And he loved life, and he was just great at those things. So we have Miss Elsa again from SEIU. She's the head of all of Texas for SEIU, but she's really grander than that. She's really like a labor Mother Teresa, because you have this aura in you of just I don't know, the right thing. Just do the right thing, right? And it really comes down to a spiritual element of just do the right thing.
Right.
Just do the right thing. So tell us real quick, were your family, your parents or anybody, were they labor organizers? I mean, how did you get bit by the calling of the Lord?
You know, when I'm an immigrant from Honduras, and my grandfather and my grandmother, it's who raised me. You know, my mom immigrated here, had to leave us behind in Honduras. So my mama and my papa was the ones that raised me, and that's how they raised me. You know, they were involved in the groups in the community. We, you know, my grandfather was one of the ones who started a free college in our town. They were involved in all the patronatos in in the town to clean the gutters, to do a bunch of different things. And so that was just instilled in me to always look for the right thing. You know, it's, you know what's right and you know what's wrong, and you should always try to do what's right. You should always try to help someone. And so for me, it never, you know, it never dawned on me to do other work that didn't include trying to work in the community or to help in the community. I was blessed to have a very supportive family. I am very blessed to have a supportive husband, because this isn't easy work, as you can imagine. And, you know, my husband really was that backbone for me. You can go and do the labor work and you can do all of that. And he took, he made sure he took care of the kids and took them to the doctors. As a matter of fact, he's doing that today, you know, and also held another job. But, you know, you were talking about the sacrifices that we make. You know, I remember having, working in nonprofits, you don't make a lot of money. And when I first got married, my husband and I also did, you know, on the side, we would go and clean a building where he worked or the building where I worked. That's a side job, because we needed to make ends meet. And it's shameful that that's what has to happen, that you have to. So I remember going there with my husband and I and even the kids to clean the buildings on the weekend, because we wanted to make that extra money. And, you know, as a community, as an immigrant, that's just what we do. You know, we don't want charity. We don't like having to go get charity. We're going to work hard to make what we may, what we need to take care of our families. And I think that's what the janitors do. Unfortunately, at this time, many of them are having to rely on their church. They're having to rely on food banks to make ends meet. And that is wrong. Not in this community. As I said, we believe Texas is big enough for 15. Everything is bigger on Texas. But for whatever reason, the wages are not. And we need to change that.
Texas is big enough for 15. Amen. Well, I thank you very much for being on the show. And it was very moving for me. And it was an honor to be in your presence for all the hard work that you do for so many. And it's just the right thing.
It is the right thing.
So, Houston, we're going to sign off. Facebook, everything else. I don't know if I can even call you Facebook anymore. Don't beat me up. I mean, bleep me out if I say Facebook. I'm not supposed to. But this is Gilbert Garcia, Talk Inspiration and Prayer, A Tip from Gilbert. And, of course, I'm every Monday. Listen, this is your station, community. I'm just, you know, tired of all the negativity, negative news, bad news, bad news, bad news. And you know what? There's got to be an outlet to talk about good things and stories of heroes like Elsa, people that are doing things for the good of other people, because it's just the right thing. And that's what this show is all about. And so again, we're here 11 to 11:45, 1360 AM, 96.9 FM, 1140 AM, KWWJ, KYOK. And of course, you can call at 832-570-8075. And I thank you for being here. I'm going to give Elsa one last word. Elsa, right there, the camera.
First, I just want to thank Gilbert for the space, the ability to talk about this campaign for the Houston janitors. And, you know, hope to have your support. And make sure you that you call. I'm happy to hear that you're going to call your building manager. And hopefully some of the other tenants that are in this building will follow your lead.
I'm going to call today. You have my support. I'm going to call today. So it's on right. You got my support. And I'm going to call today and I'll report back.
Thank you.
And I hope you call in, if you don't mind, to just let us know these next couple of Mondays of how it's going.
Definitely.
Okay.
We will do that.
Please. And so here I am. I'll see you next time. This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Join me for my new radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk inspiration and prayer every Monday from 11 to 11:45 a.m. on KWWJ 1360 a.m., 96.9 FM, or KYOK 1140 a.m. Call me 832-570-8075. See you then.